Most of it, anyway.
I think that we asked this morning who is here for the first time, and now you're here for the second time. But then when you think of it, you come with another expectation, I think, tonight than this morning. And this is important, because while we were eating fish and chips, someone also made the remark, but how do we get the revelation? Because there is plenty of revelation. There are mysteries. And God says, this is the time. I want to release it. I want to set it free. I want to unravel. I want to make the mysteries known. And I want to use you to make them known. That's the beauty. I mean, he says, I will give you keys, and we will come to that. But, well, here we are, Whitney. How do we get revelations? And one of the things that helps me is when I go somewhere and they expect me to say something. So then you're specifically asking. And then I see that the revelation comes. Sometimes it's when a preacher, I hear someone say something, or I read something in a book, and it really sticks out. And then I grab hold of it and go on, and then revelation comes. So it's different on different opportunities. But it's not like, well, we'll see. So you have to be focused, I think. Well, it can take you by surprise. But normally it helps when you are looking in that direction. So you are the ones now, after this weekend, you're the pioneers. You heard a new thing, something. So it's for you to see what God wants to do with it in your situation. And we have plenty of examples that it works this way. We had people on board, we do boat conferences. And I know Ian also, he is, normally we did it together, but then he's, no. I told him, you better do your own boats, and because then we have two, it's better. Mine didn't work anymore in English. Well, okay, Ian is still continuing with the boats. But we have boat conferences in English, in German, in Dutch, and then we are 5 days together. And I've seen people coming on board, and after 1 week, they were changed. At least they moved into a new direction. So after a couple of years, we still regularly see these people, then you see that their whole life is really changed. They are now people in the north. The north of the Netherlands is the tough ground, hard ground, difficult. The communists. And now the north is the part of the Netherlands where everything happens. And part of it is because people take now initiatives, and they work together, and they get people over, and things are happening. People are changed. More people get changed. More people hear about the message, the revelation. So I challenge you that you, well, let me say, like 14, 15 years ago, that preacher said, who wants to go for the revelation of the Father heart, who wants to take it not just as a message, but as the message to run with. And I hope there are a few of us that will say yes. It has captured my heart. I need to do it. You know, Wayne Jacobson, he wrote a new book, Finding Church. And first he wrote a book, So You Don't Want to Go to Church Anymore. And now he wrote a book, Finding Church. It's progress. And he says this: what if the church Jesus is building looks more like wildflowers strewn across an alpine meadow than a walled garden with manicured hedges? Wow. You know, I live in the city of The Hague, and you're happy when you have a garden. Just a small garden, you know, but you can put your chair in and you can enjoy the sun. We in the Netherlands have sometimes sun, yes. And but what if you compare it with wildflowers strewn in an alpine meadow? The freedom, you know. This. So, and then if you compare it, do you want to have church? Or do you want to have church? You know, yay! He takes you in and he leads you out. He leads you in and he leads you out. We need, what one of my favorite things for leaders is that we start thinking about what effect has the revelation of the Father heart on church structure and the style of leadership. Because remember, when you're a pastor that is here, your church is like an orphanage. And it's hard work. And I'm a pastor. And sometimes I realize, whoa, wait a minute. Am I in the right position or? And God looks and he says, wait a minute. Come on. Come on. Let me take over. Ephesians 1:17, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. That's what it is all about. We need to know him for who he really is, really. And that's his heart desire. It's hard for him when he is always misunderstood, when they tell things about him, about what you can expect from God. And he says, I'm not like that. I'm not like that. I'm not at all. Not at all. What are you talking about? Preaching the fear of the Lord on you. Ooh. And they make it difficult for you to enter into intimacy. Jesus, he talked about it. He said, Luke 11:52, woe to you experts of the law, because you have taken away the key of knowledge. You yourself have not entered, and you have hindered those who were entering. Message. You're hopeless, you religious school, you religion schoolers. You took the key of knowledge, the scriptural truth, But instead of unlocking doors, you lock them. You won't go in yourself and you won't let anyone else in either. So what I see here, and just before that he said, and on this rock I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. That's what he tells Peter. So there are keys. When there are keys, there must be doors. When you have keys, it means that there are doors that are locked. So, I believe he has keys for some of us. I believe that there are doors that are locked that can only be opened when you use the key. I'm not aware of any key. Well, then we start asking. Father, do you have keys for me? Have you ever prayed? You know, have you ever prayed? Father, do you have keys for me? You know? Father, are there doors that are closed that you want me to open? I hate it. People that come to you with you with their agenda. Can I speak in your church? Can we arrange some? And then when they come like that, then I say no. We're filled. My church is not for you to have speaking appointments. You can be there to build up. To encourage the church, but I'm not there for you. I don't like it. They want to fill their agenda for a year. So I said to myself, I will never do that. I will not go. I will go where they ask me. Then I'm happy. Until 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years, on the boat, someone handed me prophetically a key that is so big. The Lord is giving you a key. And then I realized it's possible that there are times when people are behind the doors that are closed, that they cannot come to me and ask. So I need to be bold and go without asking. And that was difficult for me because I hated the people that come to fill their agenda. So I wanted to stay far from that. But I ask. And at times I will step in, and use the key. But it's different from what we were used to do. Religion is closing the doors. Religion is not setting you free. When you're not a leader, I challenge you to become one. A new style leader. Because we need examples. We need new leadership. We need leadership that is in full dependency of God. That's what we need. The people need to see an example. How it works. They need healing of bad leadership. And the bad leadership is not because they want it, often not because they want, but they couldn't do better because they were not here but here. So we are not blaming But we look the other way and we say, we need healthy, good leadership in the church. So you ask yourself, and can I be a leader? Maybe in your family to start with, small. What is it, leadership? What does God want? We are called to open doors. We are called to make it possible for those who are actually behind closed doors to come free. My message is mainly for the church. I love it. I love it to be in the church, you know, because there is such a potential, there is such a challenge, and I love it when we've been somewhere and there are people that have received hope for something new to come. It's not a dead end. John 3, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that's what we are. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. No longer a slave of fear. The reason the world doesn't know us is that it didn't know God. No, the reason the world doesn't know us is that it didn't know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. Yes, we are children of God, but there is a process. We will grow. We will become mature. We will be set free. We will be released. Freedom. A good leader doesn't keep the people, he sets them free. Not afraid that they make a mistake. Not afraid that they go somewhere else. Come on, go, go. Come on, go, go. Do something. Feel free. Challenge. Come on. There was an we in Father House we started and we said we will not have programs. We will not initiate programs. And in 13 years, the leadership has not initiated programs. Some people say, well, what can I do? I said, that's a good question. You shouldn't ask me, you should ask God. And we wait. And when they don't ask, they don't do anything. And someone comes, women's group or prayer group, or and say, yes, go for it. Do you need help? Or? And everything that is going on is an initiative from one of the members. And I can travel because they do it. It's their thing. Their part, their responsibility. Great. And someone came to me. And he said, Henk, I want to start a home group. And I thought, that's not a good idea. And I said, That is a good idea. Do you need help? Well, no, I think I can do it. Good, fine. So the first time, the three people showed up there, then two, then three, then one, went on. A year long. After a year, he came to me. He said, Hank, I think I will stop with the home group. And I said to him, well, that's a good idea. And then he said, but I have to tell you something. I'm now 30 years a Christian. And you're the first leader that gives me the opportunity to try. My goodness, was I glad that I said, try. It had nothing to do with doing something. It had to do with healing of his heart. So it's important to realize that God has sometimes works in different ways than we think. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. Wonderful. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. To know the I am is the answer for all fear. Now, I promised I wanted to do something new. Here we are. First, we start with something that is old, but it becomes new. We look to the parable of the five wise and the five foolish virgins. We've done that before. Now, when it is a parable, it means that Jesus wants to tell you something. So we need to know where the 10 virgins stand for. Where do they stand for? 10 virgins. Christians. Let's call them the church. Five foolish, five wise. You can still make a move now. So half of the church foolish, half of the church wise. Do the foolish know that they are foolish? Yes or no? No. Do the foolish know that there are five, because it's not, that they mingled? Do they know that there are five wise? No, don't think so. Do the five realize that they are wise? I don't think so. Do the five know that there are foolish among them? They all go out to meet the bridegroom. Means they are all Christians. Absolutely. They all have their lamps burning. They all fall asleep. And then the bridegroom comes. And they want to light their lamps and then, ooh, out of oil. The wise have extra oil, the foolish not. Go buy something for yourself, some. And then they come. Later, the others also came to the door. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, truly I tell you, I never knew you. I don't know you. Door closed. But this is Matthew 25, and directly after finishing this parable, he starts another one. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted him his wealth to him. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, or talents. To another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. So we see workers, and they receive tools to work with, money. Then he comes back, and the one with the 5 bags, he says, look what I've done, 5 extra. Woo, he says, well done, well done. Go in. The one with the 2 bags, he says, yes, I doubled it also. He says, well done, good, come in. And then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant, so you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the bag of gold, give it to the one, the 5, and you out. Reading these parables, it's like 3 months ago. And I think, something is not right. Where's my father? Where is my father? I see people, the wise who had made sure they had oil, come in. Some forgot. No way out. The worker, he has a wrong image, cannot come in. Where is my father? The prodigal had done everything wrong. I know you have done wrong, but that's because you have a wounded heart. Come in my arms. You need healing. I bet these also needed healing. I have read these parables, and I believe them. What about you? Is God the way he is presented here? So, does he has 2 personalities? Which one is it when I come to heaven? Is he this one or the other one? And I just up to 3 months ago, I bought it. I thought, well, it's in the Bible. You better do your best. You better work. You better be careful. And then I thought, something is wrong. And I got to know through the years, I got to know my father. So I thought, well, I'm not going to buy this. It's not true. I don't believe it. I'm overlooking something. I'm the one that is not reading in the right way, because this is not my father. This is not my father. I refuse to believe that this is the way I read it, that's the right way. I refuse to believe it. So you better give me revelation. But serious, when you get to know the Father, this is important, to know the one who speaks. If you only hear the words, you buy what he is saying, what you hear. But now, when you get to know him, there is already a revelation, because you say, well, this is not correct. This can't be. But now I need to know the solution, and I need more revelation. So I thought, okay, to whom is Jesus telling these two parables? What do you think? The Pharisees. Someone else? Pharisees? Do we go for Pharisees?
Sanhedrin.
Yeah, but that is a pity, because you're at the wise side. He is the foolish. He can. No. That's what I thought too. But it's not true. It is Jesus who in chapter 24, in the beginning, says that he is on the Mount of Olives and his disciples only came to him and asked him about the things to come. Then he starts explaining about the things to come, and he continues on the Mount of Olives to his disciples only to tell these two parables. Interesting, because is Jesus saying, hey guys, half of you have no oil enough? You know, where does the oil stand for? Everyone always says Holy Spirit. Now, listen to me. This is fun. So, did they have oil, yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah, in the lamp, the lamps were burning. They didn't have extra oil. So they come to the door, doom, 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 we're there. Yeah. What are you coming to? Well, yeah, but you need Holy Spirit. We had Holy Spirit. Yeah, you just had not enough Holy Spirit. Well, it's not possible. The only thing he says, what is he mentioning to the five foolish? I don't know you. Relationship. Intimacy. So the lack of oil is a lack of intimacy. The one with well, the lamps were burning, but he says clearly, I don't know you. He has never looked them in the eyes, and they have never looked him in the eyes. Because it's not, I know you a bit. No, he says, I don't know you. Means you were on a distance. Let me tell you, it doesn't say you're lost forever. They were not allowed to go into the wedding hall. So maybe some were already nervous to calm you down. There is still the possibility to be saved. No, so I'm not going into that. The talents, the one with the one talent, what did he say?
I was afraid.
I was afraid. Why? Because he said, you are a hard master. Did Jesus, did he want to tell his disciples that they had a wrong image of God? Well, I think after 3 years, Peter, who said, got revelation, the others got into it, they had a pretty good idea of who God was. Well, he is telling them these parables. Why? Why is he telling them something that has nothing to do with them? Wonderful. Great. I know you're on the right side. So, more tears coming here. Well, so, thank you. So Jesus is telling them something. Well, it's then I thought of another story in the Bible, and that was the story of Jonah. Jonah was told that Nineveh was a wicked city and that judgment would come. But is there the desire in God's heart to bring judgment over Nineveh? No, absolutely not. That's why he sends Jonah. He says, look, here, sin. When you have sin, sin has the consequence in itself. So, we don't need the punishing hand of God. God has his hands for restoration. Sin has the consequence in itself. So Nineveh had the judgment, it was bringing judgment over itself. And God was looking and he says, my goodness, they need revelation. So he says, Jonah, you tell them, go, reveal who I am. And he comes, he preaches on the streets. The king of Nineveh, he says, all of us, on your knees, and the cows and the sheep, on your knees. Fasting, prayer, because they said, we understand what you're saying. Jonah is waiting. Fireworks. No, it's not coming. Because God says, I'm pleased when my heart, I don't want the one who is godless to perish. That's not in my heart. Why not? Because all men are my children. Satan cannot create. All men are his children. The only thing is, he says, they need to get to know me so that I can heal them. And I can fill them. I can take them in my arms. And he loves to hold the sinner. He loves to hold the sinner before he repents. because he wants to show him unconditional love. He says, I want my church I want to become visible through my church. I want them to give unconditional love. Now, we read that doing good is rewarded, doing wrong is punished. That's what we always read. And that is what I say, that is not in line with the character of my daddy. So if he is now we are coming somewhere. He is taking his disciples. We have the picture of Jonah, that there is not judgment in his heart, but there is restoration in his heart, looking for a way that judgment is taken out and restoration is coming in. He says to his disciples, and now, my daddy is back. Look, Jesus is telling his disciples with tears in his eyes. He says, look what the church looks like. They have no intimacy. Look what happens. They are far away from me. They can't reach their destination. Look, you have the right picture. You know, but look in the church. Look in what the people, look to the people, what kind of image they have from me. Look, the one with the one talent. I bet there are lots of people with one talent in the church. And they have a wrong image of me. And he is not judging. The parable has nothing to do with judgment. He says, look what happens when they do not know me. And you know me, so go out and tell them. Bring the revelation. Because my desire is that the one with the one talent will not say, I'm a harsh and man that does this and that. No, that he will know me for who I really am. That's my desire. That's why he is telling his disciples these two parables. Yes.
He didn't deny it,
no.
But he said you felt and you knew that.
Yeah.
And then he said, you're lazy and you're a wicked
servant. Yeah.
How does that?
Well, it fits in the allegory. It fits in the whole story. Because this is what happens when you have such a picture, you receive according to what you believe. That's what you get. It's exactly what you get. So when you believe that God is like he has described him, he gets from a God that is like that. So but Jesus says, he says this to his disciples. So he is not telling them you are like that. He is telling them a story how things will develop, and this is a real thing. When you take the real picture of God out, So now he says, but you know me. And I am convinced that he told these two parables with tears in his eyes because he says, of course I'm not like that. Now, you know, but look what they think and look what it brings in their lives. Because this is when we have a wrong picture. When you have a wrong picture of God, you fear him, it will be very difficult to come have intimacy. Sin gives you a wrong image of God. With all the consequences. Yeah. You're right. Now.
I was just musing then, Hank. This was revealed, 3 months ago? How long have you been a Christian?
A long time. I'm now 40 years.
Yeah. I wonder if the disciples got it, because it's quite an obscure parable, isn't it?
But you know, when they looked Jesus in the eyes.
Yes.
So he was not telling them in the way that he was a wicked master. He was not telling them in the way that he's condemning or accusing or saying, you better watch because. No. They got to know him, and I think they got it. They got it. Because here. Now, the question is in these parables not what is the punishment, but why is it that they do it in a wrong way? Again, the question is not what is the punishment? But the question is, why are they doing it in a wrong way? So God says, that's where I want to work on. I want to give them hope. I want to give them the revelation. I want to show them who I really am. And then there is no need of judgment. Judgment is gone. Judgment is vanished. There is no judgment then. Because he worked on the root issue. So he has a heart for the people. And you know, this is my father. Now I read the parable that he has a heart for these people. And just before, in the end of 24, so this was written in from 1 in 25. So the end of 24 here. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour where you do not expect him. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his house to give them their food in the proper time? That's what he says to his disciples. He says, look, you need to go to the others. You need to help them. You need to give them food. You need to give them revelation. You need to tell them. You need to tell them. You who know needs to tell them who are in need. And then he tells these two parables. Revelation 3, to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. I know your deeds. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Ha! Huh. You know, he's not saying, yeah, you're dead, you stupid. You look what's coming. No, he says, wake up. The prodigal son comes to the father, receives his embrace, receives his love. What does the father say to the older one? Your brother was? He was dead. He was dead. So what he says is, when you are working on your own, from your own strength, you're dead. He says, you need to come alive. He says, you have the reputation being alive, but you're dead. Wake up! Wake up! And strengthen what remains and is about to die. Directly, and this is what we are going to talk about tomorrow. We receive and we give. So, this is what the Father, this is what Jesus says. He says, look, when you receive the revelation, go walk with it. Tell the others. Let the others know. Let me think. Okay. A small part, and I want to end with that, and then we want to receive. You know the part that I was reading in Matthew 11? You all know that still from this afternoon, remember? Matthew 11. At that time, Jesus said, no, I will read it in the message only. Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique father-son operation coming out of father heart, father and son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the way the son the way the father does, nor the father the way the son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. You know, we were talking about unity, I think yesterday, and we tried in the city of The Hague to pull all the pastors together to have unity. And that was hard work. And we didn't succeed. And then I read John 17. And Jesus says, the glory that you have given me, I've given them. That they all may be one. When I find someone, when is he ready to carry the glory? When he knows intimacy. It has no use to pull the orphans together. Hard to say. But it has no use. Because orphans, they will never be the unity, because there is strife. An orphan is, you need to look up in your Google orphan spirit versus sonship, and you get the whole list. Certain subjects, this is how an orphan reacts, this is how a son reacts. You will find yourself. But now there is revelation. Whoa! Yes, this is familiar to me. I'm familiar still with this part of the orphan. Then you realize I need healing in this area. So it's not a condemnation when you find something. It's a relief. Wow, yeah, now I can see. Now I'm no longer under and forced to act like an orphan. No, I realize this belongs to an orphan. So actually, I can be set free. So what is it that God has for me instead of it? And you can just read it. And you say, well, that's my prayer. And step by step, for me, I tell this story always, so some of them, you can have some coffee. But I was in Germany, first time, Father Heart School. I was together with someone who was organizing it, and I could also teach for 2 or 3 times. And it was exciting for me because I was abroad, Germany. And I did it half in German, half in English. And so it was fun. And then a pastor came to me. And he said, Henk, can I invite you to do a weekend in our church? And I thought, he's asking me. I can just go. I said, well, I'll pray for it. Yes, God says yes. I loved it. So the next day he comes to me. He says, Henk, with lunch, can we have a talk? What have I said? Now he doesn't want me anymore. I've said something wrong, but I can't remember, can't think of anything. So lunchtime, Henk, do you have time? Yes. It was fun for one day. And then he sits down, he says, yes, I have a problem, maybe you can help me. Had nothing to do with not inviting me. But he says, Henk, can I talk to you? Directly, negative thought. That's orphan thinking. People standing there, a group of people. One of them looks your direction. They talk. They talk about me. And it's not nice. That's orphan thinking. So you have lots of things that we can be set free. We can be, really, it's possible. We can be free. So this is the challenge. And that's why he says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Come to me. Get away with me, and you will recover your life. You know what? He knows you. How long does the Father knows you? Before the foundation of the earth. Before the foundation, is there that for or after paradise? Before? Yes. Was sin in the world at that moment? So he knows you when you were perfect. He knows you how he meant you to be.